Our opening scripture today is actually like a little mini series of scriptures, like three of them. But for an opening scripture, this, you know, we as believers, every day we live in the fact that resurrection power dwells in us every day. And sadly, at times, it's days like today that we're reminded again about that. This should be every day for the believer. So my opening scripture this morning is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, in verses 49 through 54. None of the other Gospels mention this, but Matthew seemed to be very attentive to this one detail, and we're talking about the power of Jesus' resurrection and the impact that had not only upon his family, but upon the Roman soldiers that were around the cross, that saw him die and experienced the earthquake and the rocks falling and the veil in the temple was ripped in two. This is really amazing. Matthew 27, verses 49 through 54. I have it in the New Living Translation. It's not one that we have up there, but you can still read what is there. And so from verse 49, this is just before Jesus yielded his spirit up to the Father and he took his last breath and he died. But the rest said, these are the people that were mocking him, standing around the religious crowd, thinking, we got him, we got him, we got him. As soon as he takes his last breath, that's the end of this radical fanatic tearing up our neighborhood and preaching all this hokey-pokey stuff. We ain't going to hear that no more. He's going to be gone. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. They also made the comment about, he was talking about he was saving others, but now he can't save himself. And so they were mocking and jeering at the cross. And then the next verse, verse 50, then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened, and they said, this man truly was the Son of God. And we often think about Jesus' resurrection. But at the same time, over in the tombs, over in the graveyard, there were other people that were raised from the dead exactly at the same time. And here they are now, they get up out of their graves and they're walking through the streets of Jerusalem. That's spook city right there, man, to a non-saved person. That would convince you that surely something really happened. You could have the earthquake and the graves open, and the bodies just fall out and lay there, or what was left of them, but not these. These critters got up, and they were alive, and they were walking around through the streets of Jerusalem. Yeah, there's Uncle Charlie over there. I remember when he was gone. You know, and what a testimony, what a powerful witness that is. And I really love that Matthew brought that out, because we focus on Jesus, and we should. He's our Messiah. He's our Savior. But the fact of the power of the Holy Spirit did that power now dwells in you and I to live every day. And you think you're having a bad day? Guess who's on board with you to help you through it? So that brought me, the same translation, to the next verse. I'll be brief because I know there's still a lot of things to happen today. Romans 8:11, New Living Translation. The Apostle Paul is writing this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead and all these others at the same time lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Don't look at yourself as just me. Me, myself, and I, little old me, I'm just me. Yeah, but you're the earth suit that the Spirit of God dwells in. You're the holy temple where the Holy Spirit of God dwells in. You're not just nobody, you're somebody, and you belong to somebody. And God so chose you and saved you because He wanted to put His Spirit in you to lead you and guide you in your life so that you're a living witness, just like the others He raised from the dead. Do you know the Bible teaches us when you get born again, you've been raised from the dead too? We were all spiritually dead, separated from Him. But when the Spirit of God came into our lives, boom, the miracle happened, and you were born again. You're now a living spirit that's eternal. You will never die again. Your earthly body may very well before the Lord returns. We don't know. But your spirit, man, the real you inside the earth suit, is alive because you were resurrected. And the Bible calls that the first resurrection. We each get two. One is when your spirit is raised up from death to life, and the second one is your glorified body. So you're going to have two resurrections, but the good news is you've already experienced your first one, and you were there when it happened.
Yes, I was.
And you will never forget it. Never.
Never will.
You got raised from the dead the day that you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and Paul wants us to know that that's what happened. The same spirit, there's no two Holy Spirits, there's the one that did this, has done it for you as well. And that's why there's such a joy in the life of a believer that no matter what other stuff is going on, everybody's got stuff going on. But come back to the bare necessities. Let the main thing remain the main thing because it is the main thing. Jesus Christ is alive, but He made you alive too. He raised you from the dead. And the next verse, last one, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, when He raised all those other people that had died, where did they go? They went back into Jerusalem, walking around the streets, bearing witness of Jesus and the power of His resurrection. You've been raised from the dead. I've been raised from the dead. Where do we go? We walk around and testify. We're living witnesses that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And we know that because His Spirit dwells in each one of us, because He's raised us from the dead too.
Amen.
And so that's just a little bit of good news to go along with your testimonies this morning, to focus on that. And the power of that isn't just for today. It's for every day that we live and breathe in this life. It's because of Jesus, and He raised each one of us from the dead too. So enjoy your resurrection.
Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
He's very good, and all the time. Just before we have communion, I mean, we've been having communion, literally, but when we have the elements, the verse that I received this morning, it's not typed in my notes, it's handwritten, it came very suddenly, and it's from the Epistle of John's little letters, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, and this is the verse that I have for communion before we pray and pass out the goodies. First John, and John said, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. This is the record. This is the record. That God has, past tense, given to us eternal life. You see, it's not something that we have to strive for. It's not something we have to wait for. We already have it now. From the day you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you entered His promise of eternal life. The earth suits may not make it that long, but the real you inside will. And that's the part that's born again. You already have eternal life. And when we hand out these elements, it takes on a new depth of when Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." It's a testimony of the fact that the new life that we have, it's in him. It's not in religious things. It's not in anything else, but it's in him. And so the bread represents his body. And the cup is his blood that was given for the forgiveness of all of our sins, and also the fact that it was the one sacrifice given in all the centuries that there'll never need to be another one. He did it once. And you know, the interesting thing about wills is usually when a person dies, there's a will and everybody gathers and fights over who gets what. Brings out the best and the worst in people. Well, the interesting thing, Jesus didn't have that problem. He came back to make sure it got carried out and fulfilled. So, as we prepare to have this, let's take a minute and just thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is one really tangible thing that we can do and we should do. And Jesus said, as often as we do it in remembrance of him. Father, as we receive this bread this morning, may we be reminded of the bread of life, Jesus himself, in our faith in him. And you have given us eternal life. And all that this bread represents. And we think about the crucifixion. We think about the beating and the lashing. And there it was that Jesus bore all manner of sickness and disease upon himself. He said that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 17. And he did that in our place so that the provision for healing would be available to all of us, to any who would believe on it. Belong on him. And so we thank you. And we thank you that all the nutrients of a well-balanced spiritual life is found in you and in your word, Father. There will never be a more pure word that we could ever have in our possession is your word, 100% truth. And so, Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to give yourself for us in our place. It should have been us, but it was you in our place. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before we eat this, I was thinking about those little smiley goldfish crackers that one time we all had those, and we probably would have been a shock to the neighborhood. But you know that whole thing about the fish, and you look at that little goldfish, and he has this great big smile that almost breaks the cracker in half. And it's so reminding of what the Word says in Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 12, and it talks about Jesus being the author and the finisher of our faith. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sit down at the right hand of the Father. The joy that he had wasn't in the actual act of the crucifixion, because his flesh took no joy in that. You know, he contested with the Father in the garden first about that. and said, if there's any other way, I'm all for it. I really don't really want to do this because this is going to hurt. That's just Rick's language, but you can imagine the struggle because he shed drops of blood. He was so brought to that point of what was about to happen. But yet those words still ring true in my ears for the joy that was set before him, because all of hell couldn't stop him from fulfilling the Father's will to bless us and give us eternal life and to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now because of this, God has declared us to be righteous. We have the right to be called the children of God because there's a relationship. So let's devour this and just think about, he did that for each one of us. He did it for me. And within seconds, whatever's in this bread's going to be racing through our bloodstream to every cell in our body to bring us nourishment. And the Holy Spirit is like that. He's already present, and he's in every cell in our body. But this is the closest we can come when we have the elements together to be able to really identify with that oneness. He in us, and we in him, and we in each other. We're all of that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And this bread and this blood seal that covenant. And it's the one everlasting covenant that God made that will be for eternity. Okay. One for you. Thank you. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus and all the brutality and horror of the cross. It's not even in our natural thinking how there could be any joy in that. It's just like us when we're experiencing troubles and times of hardship and things happen in our lives. It's hard to see beyond that. And Jesus looked beyond the cross to the joy of knowing that our names would be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Knowing that we would be brothers and sisters with Jesus, but sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, Father, we thank you. He did that in our place, and that we receive the benefit of it. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first got saved, I remember how I used to feel almost sad that Jesus had to do this, that we were in such a state of separation from our Father, that I used to look on this of being really sad and heavy in my spirit. But the more I've grown in the Lord, and I'm sure you have as well, we've come to appreciate that Jesus didn't do this out of sadness, that he did it out of joy. And that we should as well, because we share in that joy with him. That as he overcame the grave, hell, death, and the grave, so have we. There's no grave going to hold these bodies down one day. They're going to come up out and freak everybody out. And I have a great joy knowing that what this has done for each of us, and that our Father would want us to share in his joy. This is the only meal that we have with him, really, in this life. And it is, there is a side of me that is just bubbling with joy and enthusiasm and just thankfulness. I think I'm most thankful that he did something about my condition and the condition that my condition was in. And it wasn't pretty. But now it's beautiful. And so are you. And so with that joy in mind, it was because of this that made today possible. In victory, think of all the things you've overcome in your life that the Lord has helped you. Well, this seals your victory right here. Just as he shed his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, that was a victory over anything the enemy could ever throw against us. And throw in our faces, it's all under Jesus' feet. So rejoice. And be very glad. Does anyone have any prayer needs for yourselves?